This is the Afternoon Magazine, and I'm Amy Guidel, legal issues and the news commentator sitting in for Celeste Quinn. Today, I'm delighted to have a chance to talk about Babar, even though this topic doesn't have a thing to do with law. Later on in the program, we may have as a guest Laurent de Bruinhoff, whose work I've been enjoying for many years now. He's the author and illustrator of many of the Babar books. We haven't been able to get him on the phone as of yet. He may be joining us later on. The new Babar book is titled Babar's Museum of Art, and it contains beautiful drawings of Babar, Celeste, and the children. But it's an art book, too. Celesteville has opened a new art museum, and the book then contains recreations of famous paintings with elephants replacing the human subjects. It's a wonderful book, at least I think so. The paintings and sketches from Babar's Museum of Art will be on display in Chicago at the Art Museum from tomorrow, September 27th, until early February. And joining us by phone to talk about that and about encouraging art appreciation in children is Jean Sousa, the Associate Director of Interpretive Exhibitions and Family Programs in the Department of Museum Education at the Art Institute. Thanks for being with us, Jean.
Hello, thank you.
Listeners should please join in the conversation. Any questions you want to ask, comments you'd like to make, please call us at 333-9455. That's in the Champaign-Urbana area, or from anywhere else, call us toll-free at 1-800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL and 1-800-222-WILL. So let's focus for this program, then, on teaching kids about art through books like the new Babar book and other ways. Why don't you tell me, if you would, Jean, about the Babar exhibit at the Art Institute's Craft Center?
Yes. Well, it's opening tomorrow, and Laurent de Bruinhoff will be here to do a book signing in the afternoon. And what the exhibit includes is works of art from the book, and it's focusing just on that one book of LaRonda Bruinhoff, and it has some sketches and the artwork that that is in the book. And then what we've done is we've gotten reproductions from various museums of the original artwork that these takeoffs are based on. So it's a real education in art history and a fun look at Babar posing in all of these wonderful, famous, iconic paintings from the great history of art from, you know, throughout Europe, you know, the great museums, the Louvre, the Prado, the Metropolitan Museum of Art in this country, the National Gallery. So this is just a wonderful exhibition. Everyone I've talked to about it is very excited, and particularly it's one of these exhibits that crosses generational boundaries because you have young children loving Babar and seeing Babar in all of these exotic settings, and then you get adults who know these works of art, and it's just so funny to see them transform.
I actually leapt at the chance to do this interview with Laurent. It's too bad we can't get him on the phone just because I do love Babar so much. Tell me, what sort of reactions are you expecting from the kids as they see the drawings from the book and then also the paintings or reproductions of the paintings next to them? What sort of reactions would a parent expect to see?
Well, I think that the sort of primary reaction seems to be glee, because it's just they're just so funny. And with the exhibition just went up, it opens tomorrow, so I haven't actually been observing the young children yet. I have done previews for teachers, and they just kind of can't stop laughing when they see these works of art because they're so familiar to them. So I think it's going to be one of those exhibits that just puts an instant smile on your face.
The other thing is that the book itself, and I'm sure you're familiar with it then, is all about kids responding to art.
Yes. And what's wonderful about the book is it really is about looking. And just the way that the text unfolds and the conversations that take place between Babar and Celeste and the children are the kinds of conversations that take place in the galleries. They're the kinds of conversations that we initiate with our groups that really get kids to look more closely and identify with the works of art and just identify colors, you know, and just have a personal identification with the characters, just the activities that are going on in the works of art and the kinds of questions that are being asked are the kinds of things that that you would do in an art museum. So that's actually what I love about the book, what's wonderful about it. It's like modeling that particular experience.
Let me ask you then some of the questions that the elephant children ask of Celeste and Cornelius in the book, and have you respond as you would if a child asked you.
Mm-hmm.
Will it be like school when they go to the museum? Will it be like church or like shopping or going on a picnic?
Well, see, this is a wonderful question because parents wonder about that also. How will their children react? And so kids who have never been to a museum have no idea what it's going to feel like. So do you want me to answer that question?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If a child were to ask you something, ask you a question like that, how would you respond, or what would be the best response from a parent?
Well, you know, it won't be like any of those things, but it could be a little bit like all of them.
Mm-hmm.
For example, some people do compare museums to churches because people have such awe in terms of looking at work. Sometimes they're quiet in the gallery. And it has a temple-like quality, particularly the Art Institute of Chicago with the Beaux-Arts building. And when you walk up the front staircase, you feel like you're going into a very special place, a temple, or you feel like you're on stage, actually, when you enter the museum. It's you know, there is a shop, so I guess it's a little bit like you can do a little shopping at the end of the day. If you have lunch, it's kind of like going on a picnic. And if you come to the museum during the summer, you can have a picnic in the garden outside. And will it be like school? Well, it's not as structured as school. So if you're with your family, probably not. But if you come with the school group, yes, it will be very much like school. So you've got little bits of familiar experiences there.
Isabel, one of Isabel's open-ended questions is, how are we supposed to behave? And I think that you would respond to that by saying, well, gosh, please don't touch anything.
Yes, that is one of the rules of museum etiquette, is to not touch anything. And that's the question that everyone asks when they're coming to museums with children also. It's one of the very basic things that parents are concerned about, is just general behavior and kids getting too rowdy and running around and being inappropriate, having their behavior be inappropriate. And we try to tell parents to just relax and have a good time. And, I mean, the things that you can't do are things that you probably shouldn't do in other places. I mean, we don't want you just riding the banisters, because that's dangerous in a public place. We don't want you to hurt yourself. And you don't want to run and bump into other people. So you want to, you know, maybe just walk. Although running, you know, it can be all right as long as it's you're careful. You can't touch the art, and you want to be considerate of others. Mm. But you want to have fun. And I think sometimes people have a preconception about museums that you're just supposed to be serious and you can't have fun. And we're working to really have a new idea of what museums are about. And they really should be very enjoyable.
Great. Jean, I'm actually going to put you on hold for just a moment. We're going to play some music. And we think that we're going to be able to get Laurent de Brunhoff on the phone. In the meantime, while we're playing music, callers, if you would like to ask a question of either Jean Sousa, who knows all about art appreciation for children, or the author and illustrator of the Babar series, Laurent de Brunhoff, please call us at 333-9455 from Champaign-Urbana, toll-free 1-800-222-9455. We're going to play some music and then hopefully come back with both of our guests. Thanks. We're back, and I'm delighted to have now as a guest Laurent de Brunhoff, whose work I've been enjoying for many, many years now, the author and illustrator of many of the Babar books. Welcome, Mr. de Brunhoff.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us. My first question for you is, I always pronounce it Babar. Am I correct?
Well, that's perfectly right.
I always pronounce it Babar. Is that
no,
correct?
No, but in French, we always put the accent on the second,
okay.
Babar, you know.
And before I go to a caller, we have a caller from Champaign already. I want to ask you another. My husband said I must ask you, is it Dr. Capoulos?
Capoulos.
Capoulos. Very good. caller one, from, or on line one from Champaign, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, please.
Hi. I wanted to ask the author what gave him the idea to make a book about yoga. I saw the book about the art museum, but I was really intrigued that they chose to make a book about yoga.
You know, it's a very nice story, actually, because I'm practicing yoga for 25 years myself. And I was doing some pencil sketch with human body for my wife, Phyllis. And she said, why don't you do that with elephants? So I was very excited, and I started to make some sketch with the body of the elephant, which was not really easy, but very exciting. Mm-hmm. And that was the book.
Great. Well, thank you. My daughter is very excited that she can now start doing yoga with me with the Babar.
With Babar.
Thank you.
Laurent, why do you think that Babar has been embraced by so many children? What is it about the pictures, the text?
You know, it's hard to say. I believe he's a very, very appealing character. He's a wonderful and loving father, and all the family love each other, and it can be some trouble, but everything is find a solution, and the atmosphere of love and fun at the same time. Mm-hmm. Is very appealing for little kids.
It's funny you should say that. I asked my 9-year-old last night how he feels when I've read him Babar for his whole life, how he feels when I read him Babar, and he said peaceful. And I thought that was a very good word.
Peaceful?
Yeah,
that's very nice. But now I think 9 years old is already a little bit old for Babar, because the teenager has changed so much since the 30s, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They are earlier than before interested of a different thing and are playing with a computer or anything. But the little kids between, I would say, 2.5 and 7 are still, I think, very happy with Babar.
Yeah, and I certainly like it. I'm a big fan. We have another caller on line one from a car phone. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Monsieur de Brunhoff. Oh, this is very exciting. When I was just a child, we had a photograph record. Well, it would have been a 78 of the story of Babar, the very first one.
Uh-huh.
And my question is, how did you happen to continue your father's work? Well, of course, it's your work now, but it must be an interesting story.
You know, my father died when I was 12 years old, and after that there was a war, and 10 years later I wanted to be a painter myself, and at the same time I just wanted my friend Babar to be alive again.
And I
started to make drawings and to invent a story. That was my first book.
I'm
trying to be very faithful to the style of my father, but it was not that hard. I was happy with it, and I did a second book, a third one, and now I've done that for 50 years, and Babar is my own.
Right. Well, we are very lucky, both for your father's work and you continuing it. Thank you.
We're talking with Laurent de Brunhoff, author of the Babar series of books, and Jean Sousa with the Art Institute of Chicago, where beginning tomorrow you'll be able to see Babar art from the new book, Babar's Museum of Art. Please join in the conversation by calling us at 333-9455 from the Champaign-Urbana area, or toll-free at 1-800-222-9455. My other son, who is 7, wanted me to ask you what your inspiration is for your books. And specifically, I should ask you about Babar's Museum of Art. What inspired you to write that?
This one, this book especially, was a suggestion of my publisher, Abrams, actually. You know, ideas of my books can come from any conversation and suggestion from my wife and Phyllis Rose, who writes the text of the museum, for instance. But this one was a suggestion of my publisher, as I said, and they didn't say we want this and that. They just suggested the idea, and I started to imagine how to do the copies of the wonderful painting, classic painting that I have loved all my life, very faithful, very humble copies, but with elephants. And it was a fascinating work for me.
And how did you select the art you would then recreate with elephants?
I'm sorry, I missed.
How did you select what art you would recreate?
Well, I had in mind some of them immediately, like the Harvest of Bruegel, that I love to go see again and again in the Metropolitan, because I live two blocks away from that in New York, and some from the Louvre also, the Lacroix, or the Musée d'Orsay, le Déjeuner sur l'Herbe of Manet, but also Botticelli, and the Creation of Adams at the Sistine. All that are paintings that I knew and I've seen again and again. But for the book, of course, I couldn't go back here and there for each one. So I used my computer a lot.
Mm. And which drawing in Babar's Museum of Art do you think the kids will respond to the most?
Which painting?
Yes.
I never thought of that.
Well, I can tell you what my kids, I read it to my kids last night, and they responded, of course, to The Scream. And also, I think, so they recognized that immediately, even though there's an elephant in the place of the
Interesting.
Yeah, and also The Birth of Venus. So they also responded to that as well.
Really?
Well, you know, I'd like to just mention that that's an interesting question because people ask me that all the time with the collection. Which works of art do children like the most? And it really it depends on the child. I mean, what it says is there are so many different kinds of children that in such varied tastes that one might really like one or another for different reasons. And in the book, as you read through the text, you see that, you know, some of them like one or another, and they identify personally with the subject, maybe, or, for, you know, for the card playing, the Cezanne. Yeah. I like to play cards, you know, identify with the activity, or that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because when I did the book, I didn't think of children, actually. I just enjoyed myself making these copies, but I really believe that it can help children looking at art. And the text of Phyllis, my wife, is exactly the thing that the kid could react on the painting.
And the book seems also written for parents. Throughout the book, Cornelius, it seems, tries to tell the children how to appreciate the art. And Celeste always says, no, let's seems to let's let the kids enjoy the art for how they appreciate it.
Yeah, no pompous lessons.
Yeah.
But it is very intergenerational for so many reasons. I mean, there's the dialogue about the works of art, but there's also the fact that the parents would know these great masterpieces, probably. They'd be more familiar than their children. So they have their own private sort of laugh at this wonderful, you know, elephant in their, you know, favorite work of art, the serious, you know, iconic image that's been in art history for so long. So it's a great
Actually, I think it's as well as kids, it's for adults.
Yes, absolutely.
What is your favorite Babar book, Laurent?
Well, I don't have one favorite but some very old one I still like Babar Visit to Bird Island, which is one of my first, or Babar and the Woolly Woolly. But I like also the Succotash Bird, the new one that a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I have a couple of favorites of yours that are actually on a coffee table in my living room.
Uh-huh.
That's how much I enjoy them. One is Babar and the Professor.
Uh-huh.
and what was the inspiration for that story?
It was a time when speleology and going in a cave and was a little bit à la mode suddenly. So I had the idea of visiting under Celesteville, and at that time my kids were 2 and 4 years old, so I introduced them in the Babar world.
Mm.
So that's why there are one little boy, one little girl.
Another favorite of mine is Babar Comes to America. and that, too, is out on our coffee table.
You know, it's funny because I thought this one was a little bit outdated, especially for New York. But yesterday, walking in the street in Chicago, I saw the building of the Chicago Theater.
Yes.
With the Twin Towers behind. Mm-hmm. And it is exactly the page of my book that I made in the early 60s.
Yeah. It's beautiful. The drawings in there, I think, are particularly lovely. Do you agree with one news article I read that said that every Babar story is a cautionary tale?
Cautionary? I'm sorry, I don't get that.
In other words, when you write these stories, do you use them to caution children in some way against some danger? I'm thinking of I think Babar's little girl, where she goes off and is lost, and they're so worried about her. That children learn from the mistakes that that these elephant children make.
Oh, well, I really never thought of that, of this idea of a caution.
Mm-hmm.
No. Maybe it comes. I'm not conscious of it, but. That's not something I really want to put in the story.
Yeah. There are some visual images, though, that for me have lasted over the years. And one of them is of the elephant, and this is in one of your father's books, who ate the bad mushroom.
Uh-huh.
And that image is just right there. Do you have people tell you that frequently? Do they respond like that to particular images or in your books?
Of course, especially the death of the mother in the first book of my father.
Mm-hmm.
This is and actually, I don't think a publisher would let an author have this. in his book, or her book.
Now. Uh-huh.
Mm.
Is there one image in particular that sticks with you?
In any of the Baba books?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Baba's dream.
Yeah.
With all these monsters, and that's wonderful, and another with sort of monsters in Babar and Zephyr, the little Zephyr. There is a wonderful page with all these animals. Otherwise, I like the little girl, the new little girl of a Baron Celeste, Isabelle.
Let me remind listeners that if you'd like to ask questions of our guests, Laurent de Brunhoff, author of the Babar books, Jean Sousa, who's an art appreciation expert for children with the Art Institute of Chicago, please call us at 333-9455 from the Champaign-Urbana area or toll-free at 1-800-222-9455. The other thing that that strikes me about your books, Laurent, is that there's so much going on every page. In your new book, it's much more visual. So there's so many things to look at on each page. But even in the older books, there's more text and then the drawings too. It seems like you don't dumb things down for children.
You know, I never write a story first and then illustrate it. The story came to my mind visually, so I love to tell the story with an image. And of course the construction is important as a painter, but also the activity in it with all the details.
And do you ever think to yourself, there's too much detail here for young children, or no?
No, because I think the action is striking at first, and then they can discover this or that little detail. But I don't think it is too distracting from the main story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Another one of my favorite books is Babar and Father Christmas.
Ah, yes.
And tell me about that one. I know that was your father's last Babar book. Is that correct?
Yes, it's correct. But, you know, I remember him working on it. And actually, it was done for the London paper. What was it? Daily Sketch. The Daily Sketch has asked my father to do a page for their weekly edition, and that's how he did the Babar and Father Christmas, which was done in black and white. And this book was not finished in color when he died, and it was published posthumously in 1940.
And I read on the internet, and you'll have to correct this, of course, if it's wrong, that you had a hand in painting at least the cover for that book. Is that correct?
It is right, yes. And for the just previous one, Babar's family, Babar and his children, which was also done for the Daily Sketch and which was not finished. My uncle, who was the director of Vogue in Paris, was sort of the art director for the coloring that my publisher, Hachette, did for this book. And my uncle asked me to do some sketches, color, for two double page of this book. That's true. When I was 13 years old.
Wow. Now, as much as I enjoy many of the Babar books, some critics out there criticize them for, and I'm quoting now, Eurocentric imperialism. And that's a quote from a news article, some racist drawings, some sexist overtones. I'm sure that you've heard this before. How do you respond to those critics?
My second book was a book about African human being with Babar. And I am sure that I did that with a sophisticated idea of the colonialist time of the 30s. And it was very wrong. And this one, this book, I agreed with my publisher, Random House, to drop it and never publish again.
Mm-hmm.
And but that was sort of an idea I had. All my childhood had this idea of the African, which was totally stupid. On another hand, there are some critics from the feminist,
mm-hmm.
Because Celeste was too passive, you know, or this or that. But I'm not very troubled by that, because I know that, for instance, when I created the new little girl for Barbara and Celeste, she was very up-to-date.
She is very spunky.
On this kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong and very free. So I have no trouble about that.
Yeah.
I'm not worried.
My kids also adored Babar and the Ghost, and Babar Visits Another Planet. What was the inspiration for those sort of otherworldly, not that Celesteville is not,
well,
but...
it's very simple. When the first man put his foot on the moon, immediately I thought that... It would happen at the elephant country also. And that's how I did Babar's Visit Another Planet.
When you went to art museums with your children, did you respond to their questions more like Cornelius in your new book, or more like Celeste?
I must confess that I didn't go often to the museum with my children.
How would you have? How would you have responded?
I think I would not have been like Cornelius. I would have been helpful for them, certainly, but not trying to make a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
That.
and that's right, Jean? That's the correct...
Oh, absolutely. You want to have fun. If you have fun, you will learn something. It's, you know, you don't need to try. It shouldn't be a hard lesson.
You know, I think I have to go now, and I'm very impatient at the idea to visit the Art Institute and look not only at the whole collection, but especially at the Seurat Grand Chat.
And that will be happening tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. At from 1 to 2:30, Laurent will be in the Craft Education Center signing his new book, Babar's Museum of Art.
Well, thank you, Laurent de Brunhoff, for joining us. The new book, again, is Babar's Museum of Art. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
And Jean, we'll continue talking with you. Did anything that Laurent said resonate with you in any way?
Well, let's see.
What's one of your favorite Babar books?
Babar's Museum of Art.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I love this book because it's my whole world, and that is absolutely my favorite. But I thought that it was very interesting to hear about his own family history, and particularly, I didn't know the story of the last book that his father did, Babar and Father's Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and that he had done the coloring for that,
mm-hmm.
when he was 13 years old. So that was real interesting. One thing that is also fascinating is the extent to which his books parallel events that are happening in the world. I mean, the idea that, you know, if we stepped foot on the moon, so, you know, the same thing should happen in Elephant Country. That is also interesting.
You've written two books for parents about how to help kids appreciate art. What are some of the mistakes parents make in that area? Are they too much like Cornelius in the book?
Yes, and they can be. Parents can be just, I mean, like everyone is often when they visit an art museum. People often think they have to see every work of art in the museum, and that's the biggest mistake that you can make with children. I mean, it's a big mistake to make on your own, no matter how energetic and ambitious you are as a person, but it's a really big mistake to make with children, because if you try to see everything, you will probably not really see much of anything, because you'll just be rushing by things and not focusing. And so we try to emphasize just visiting in child-sized chunks. And three pictures and lunch is a good formula for any parent, particularly on a first visit. And if you find three works of art and you really spend some time looking and talking about them, and you really thoroughly enjoy your visit, that will be a memorable visit, and those images will stay in your mind, and you'll want to come back, and your child will want to come back and see them again. They'll become old friends eventually, you know, at some point.
And when you say talking with your kids about a particular painting, what do you mean? How do you engage your child about art?
Well, it depends on the age, you know, the age and the levels of interest, but for very young children, you know, you could just, you know, for a baby, you could just look at a face and play a peekaboo game, for example. The idea is to look at the work of art, have the work of art be the source of the conversation. And with a young child, it might be as simple as identifying objects. You know, when you read a children's book, and you might identify, you know, the ball, you know, something, the lamp, the chair. Well, you can do the same thing with the work of art, identifying colors if a child is just learning their colors. And then as they get older and they're more socially oriented, having a conversation about the people in the painting, making up a conversation between the people in the painting. All of these things can not only get you more deeply involved in looking at the work of art, they can allow you to get to know your child better, because you'll you'll get a sense of what they're thinking about, and you know, and what they see. So that sort of conversation. If there are animals, you know, if your child likes animals, a dog, you could look at paintings. You could just do a tour of doggy paintings. So it really is very personal. Letting your child direct the visit is also a very good thing to do, because very often a parent will want to see certain things themselves and not think that their child has any ideas about what they want to see, but they might.
In Babar's Museum of Art, there's some skepticism on the part of the elephant children about some of the modern art pieces. I assume you see that often at the Art Institute.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? That's what most people think, is that the children won't like the modern art and the parents will. But in our parent workshops, we have discovered that sometimes it's the other way around, in that the parents are more uncomfortable with the modern, and children are often very open to things. And I remember specifically one of the first parent workshops that we did. You know, we would have, it was a two-part program, and parents would just come 1 week, and then they'd come back with their children. And one of the parents said that it was amazing. She discovered that she thought that her son didn't like art, and she had been trying to take to the museum for years. And after this program, she discovered that he really loved the abstract art gallery.
Wow.
And there was this one painting, a Clifford Still, that is a very large, fills a whole wall, a black painting with a thin orange line.
Oh, wow.
Little boy loved this and had all these ideas about what this was. You know, it's just
That's
very
wonderful.
Interesting. So you can just discover things,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the conversation's important. So it's not just you talking, it's listening and then following the direction of your child's interests.
How about before you go to the museum, like say you're going to see this Babar exhibit or some other exhibit there, how do you prepare your child for what your child will see? Is there anything you're supposed to do?
Well, yes. I mean, if you, to the extent that you can show them postcards of what you're going to see when you get there, I mean, if you have calendars with pictures of works of art, it really makes an enormous difference if they have some familiarity with what they're looking at. And I've noticed when, you know, when families come or school groups come and they've seen something before, the kids get so excited and say, oh, I know that painting. I have that at home. Mm. So it does make a big difference.
Well, great tips. Thank you. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thanks to Jean Sousa for talking with us about the new exhibit at the Art Institute's Craft Center, Works from Babar's Museum of Art, about art appreciation for children in general. And thanks to Laurent de Brunhoff, who had to leave a little early. Babar's Museum of Art is his new book, Guiding Children to Art Appreciation Using the Famous Elephant Babar.